Hello, people. Good morning. Obviously, we know Pastors Easy and Lena and Alan are out, so I'm just want to pray for them. Easy's recovering from surgery. God's already done a miracle, and he's continued to do a miracle. A lot of times we think miracles are instant, but miracles are what man can't do. So, Lord, I thank you for already beginning a miracle in Pastor Easy's life, God. So many times we think miracles are instant, but it's what man cannot do. So, Lord, I thank you for continuing to do what man cannot do. Man can't speak to him. Man can't do miracles. You're still doing miracles in their life. Man can't give her strength, pass vitamins, nutrients. All those things are important, Lord. But I thank you for going down to the cellular level and an expectation and an expedience and an acceleration of cellular healing in Pastor's Easy life. I thank you for new strength for Lena. I think she still, her manual will go to other nations, other languages. I thank you for Pastor Allen, Lord. I thank you for vision coming to him in a never before strategy and vision like a business. Even though the church is not a business, there will be strategy, even marketing things. And I thank you, Lord, there'll be the practical and the supernatural together. In Jesus' name, amen. We do not pray just to pray, just to hear ourselves pray. We pray to make a difference. Amen? You know, when Jesus walked the earth, and, you know, he had people would give him different names. And we need to be careful when we describe something. You know, like, this is a watch. I go, this is a watch. You go, yeah. Without saying it, at the same time, I'm also saying it's not a car. It's not a house. We need to be real careful of that with Jesus, because these are drums, okay? You guys still hear me? Guitar. Cello's gone, but we'll just pray the cello. We know, of course, and he plays it so beautiful, the cello, anointed. Because, you know, you can be professional and not anointed. We need anointing, amen? So here's the cello, and she's both. Cello, drums. And what people do with Jesus is they describe him as one thing, saying he's not that. Because today I want to talk to you about Jesus of now. See, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus from Galilee. I want to say Jesus of now, and that's not limiting to what he can do in your life, amen? So he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's also the Lamb of God, and people camp at Savior. There's entire denominations that say he's Savior. There's no healing, there's no miracles, there's no signs, there's no wonders. They still go to heaven, but he's Savior. These are the drums. But John, there's an entire band up here. There's other instruments. There's other aspects of Jesus. See, we're not describing him like that. He's drums. No, he's Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's also the Lamb of God. And there's times he wants to come in your life like the Lamb of God. He's also the one that has fire in his eyes. See, we're not discounting all those things. And today I want to talk about Jesus of now. I'm not discounting when he was born, but when he was born, there was no miracles yet. He still had to grow up. When he was 30, not yet. 31, not yet. 32, not yet. 33 and a half. And what we do is we limit and describe God of everything he's done. I don't know what ministry you've been a part of. I don't know what churches you've been a part of. But I want to talk to you about the Jesus of now. And I'm going to look at Revelation and I'm going to read some verses because, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, he was close to three. Closer to three. He's disciple 12. He was closer to three because you can get as close as you want. Judas was with him, but he wasn't with him. He was there, but he wasn't close to him. See, there's a difference. John was very close to Jesus. He put his head on his chest at the Last Supper and all these things. But when Jesus appeared in Revelation, he was the Jesus of now. John fell down. He couldn't even stand up. And I'm going to describe the Jesus of now. And Jesus did not show up in John's life to talk about the Last Supper. He didn't talk about his birth. He didn't talk about even the cross. All those things were still the totality of who he was, but he was not limited to that. See, we talk about, we're charismatics, and we want signs, and we want wonders, and we want miracles, and all those denominations, they only preach salvation. Sometimes in our life, we just think, he's healer. I need a healing. I'm only going to focus on that. But there may be something he wants to come into your life, because he is the Jesus of now. On the cross, he said, it is finished. He did not say, I was finished. There is a huge difference. And that the veil was ripped. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. He still appears to Muslims today. He still saves little kids. He's the healer. He's the savior. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Pharaoh of 10,000. He was the one that was died and alive. He's all those things, and all those things together make a song. Maybe it's time to hear a new song over your life and not camp at just one thing. The Jesus of now. Because we limit him and we say, oh, he's on the right hand, and now we just deal with the Holy Spirit. The only reason the Holy Spirit moves is because Jesus died on the cross and said, go. That is the only reason. There was a limit. Once a year, the high priest would go in. When Jesus died, that veil was ripped. Now he can access to your life. See, this is not exalting one over the other. See, there's one thing I learned. When you talk about Jesus, the Father loves it. They're not like people. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're not like people. compliment one, one gets mad. No, 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 they love each other. They love each other. The Holy Spirit loves to point to Jesus. He comes to remind you of everything I spoke to you. So I don't care what you've done, what you've gone through. We need the Jesus of now. Amen? Because I don't want to camp anywhere. Let me give you an example. Michelangelo. I love Michelangelo. I love, love, love Michelangelo. I went to the Louvre in Paris. America is a baby compared to Europe. I went to the Louvre. It was a beautiful museum, and there's all these floors. It's like Disney World. You can't do everything in one day, so you got to pick one, right? See, if I never went to Disney World, but I'm going to Epcot Center, and I'm going to eat. That's what I'm going to do. So when I went to the Louvre, I looked for the Renaissance floor. Boom, there I was. I don't like modern paintings. If you're a modern painter, I like the Renaissance floor. The paintings were huge. And in Europe, you could stand right next to it. In America, there'd be glass. There was one guy. I could have took a pin and poked it. It was amazing. And I love Michelangelo. Michelangelo was awesome. Well, they had the Sistine Chapel for years. I mean, for years. And a lot of critics would say it wasn't vibrant colors. And they kind of criticized them for it. But they did a restoration in the 80s and 90s. And they removed what he did not intend and did not put. And all of a sudden, the critics had to backtrack and say, wow, he really used vibrant colors. The restoration returned many figures to their original state with the removal of drapery, branches, and fig leaves that were added after the original completion of the paintings by Michelangelo. He was a master. Michelangelo was a master. Things were added later. Man added later. God wants to bring us back to the original state of the original tent, of the original purpose he has for you, when people did not add words, when you didn't add thoughts, when you didn't add limits to who you really were. So when they removed all of it, then they said, wow, how beautiful it is. Because Michelangelo would paint on wet plaster, and it stayed. That's like us. He was a master. Michelangelo was a master. You know what? When we put our hands in the master's hands, he can bring us back to the original state, which was intimacy. See, God's intent, he made man and woman to be intimate with him so he could know them. And see, what happens is we get flooded. We want to know stuff. We want to know about healings. All those things are important. We want to know miracles. Or we want to just camp at one thing. And really, this is all to know him. These are different aspects of him. These are just one thing. Let's not just camp at one thing. He's always been this in your life. Maybe it's time that Jesus now wants to bring a new aspect into your life. Maybe your whole life you've lived this way. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm just using this as an example. Mom says, I'm going to be a doctor. And Jesus is my Savior. And I'm going to heaven. Maybe it's time that Jesus of now wants to become the destiny giver, what you were born to do. It's not what mom said. It's not what dad said. It's not about a board meeting. It's what he said from heaven. Before you were born, he wrote it in a book, what he's called you to do. Do you know it? We can be religious. Charismatics can be religious. And they can actually be more religious in this, that they don't know it. We have freedom. I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning, people. I'm talking about in your life. Sunday morning is a very, very little part of your life. And one of the things that has awakened me up that God has removed is worshiper. I won't always be a preacher, but I'll always be a worshiper. And he has awakened a new worship in me because I'm a very tuny person. Like, if I don't like the tune, it's hard for me to listen to a song, but I'm training myself to listen to the words. And I start listening to the words about the music, and I start going to a new place. And it's not like I haven't worshiped before. I'm not saying you didn't love Jesus before. I'm not saying you weren't saved before. I'm saying the Jesus of now wants to give you an aspect you have never seen. See, we play the songs. We don't keep playing the same songs. And many people in our life, this is the same Jesus, and I know who you are. It's the same songs. And we go into a flow. We go into a different area. Could it be that God wants to sing a new song over your life and be the Jesus of now? John knew Jesus better than any disciple. You could argue there wasn't one that knew him more. You could argue that there wasn't one that knew him better. So here's John. He's on an island. He thinks pretty much his life is over. He's waiting to go to heaven. He's lived his life. He's one of the last disciple, I believe, to be alive, the martyred. And then Jesus appeared to him in a way he didn't appear to him. He was not limited. And he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. Notice the order that he speaks. Who is? The now. Who was and who is to come. Notice he says now. Who is? John, I'm coming to you as the Jesus of now. I'm not here to talk about the Last Supper and the miracles and the signs and wonders. I'm coming to you. He says, so I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book. Interesting, not what you hear. What you see, write in a book. and send it to the seven churches were in Asia. Then John says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. John never saw that before. Jesus was clothed in humanity. That's who Jesus was, Son of Man. That was his title. But we can't stop there. Don't ever park to one description of Jesus. Son of Man, this, that. No, Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. No, Jesus of now. How about that? How about the Jesus of now? Everything he's ever done, all the totality in life and more. He says his feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace. John never seen that before. And his voice is the sound of many waters. He held in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. John's never seen that before. He's only saw the man. In fact, when it described him in the New Testament, they said there was nothing about Jesus that would go, yeah, that was Savior. He humbled himself. God humbled himself. The greatest humility of all time. God came himself as a man, cloaked. When Jesus was among men, no one says there was nothing about him that goes, oh, he wasn't more beautiful. He was a man. He was a man. There wasn't like, oh, that's the Savior of the world. There was nothing about him except when he spoke, except when he did. That's what changed everything. Are you guys with me? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. John never fell at the feet of Jesus dead when he walked the earth. Why? Because he's the Jesus of now. And when he appeared to John, he says, I am the one who is, who was, and is to come. See, we need the Jesus of now. We need him in our life. So what have you parked? I parked in worship. This is how I worship. This is, John, I want to bring a new depth to your life. I want to be the Jesus of now. I want you to not just focus on the Lord. See, when you focus on the Lord, that's also what he did with me. I'm just using an example. This is what you need to do, your seven steps. No. But when Jesus appears to you, friends, we have to move from where we have parked him. These are drums, but this is just a part of the whole. That's a keyboard. And some people, their whole life, they just play the drums. This is Jesus, Savior, Savior. Nothing wrong with the drums. You can keep beat all you want. But it's not the totality. They just have the keyboard. Then you need the voices. And see, God wants to add your voice to his song over your life. Because I can say there's a purpose in your life. I'll use Janine as an example. Janine, there's a purpose in your life. Everybody can say it. 10 people can prophesy on it. And you can die with your grave not fulfilling until you say, yes, there's a purpose in my life. Yes, I believe. I must believe. Somebody can come in, lay hands, never not saved, get a healing, walk out, not saved. Why? Because that's just one aspect of Jesus. We need to fully receive the Jesus of now. So he gave John some direction and he gave John some orders. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And the keys of Hades and of death. So John saw Jesus in a way he never saw before. And if there's anybody that could describe John, Jesus, it would be John. He wrote about him. John wrote about Jesus. But in the book of Revelation, friends, we go to another level. We see Jesus without the covering of humanity, who he really is. All things were created by him, for him, through him. There was nothing that was created without him. When he came down, that's not when he existed. He always was. That's when he showed himself to man. And say they limit him. Oh, I know he's just a carpenter's son. And they gave Jesus titles. And when they did, they would limit to him in that. Now, anything good comes from Galilee. This is all you'll ever be. And I'm just saying, let's not do that with Jesus. Let's not just say he's the Savior. And let's not just say he's the healer. He's also the shame taker. Maybe you don't need a physical healing, but you need your shame taken away of something you did. He's the shame taker. So you don't have to live your life, your whole life with your head down, knowing you're going to heaven, but not living on earth like it with joy. He's the joy giver. He's the purpose maker. Before you were born, he has his purpose. And you know what he did? He gave you gifts and talents to align with his purpose. Your gifts and talents already predestined. He didn't go, oh, you're musical. I'm going to make you a worshiper. No, he already put you in that. That's pre-thought. That's the master. Michelangelo, I believe it was Florence, they commissioned an artist to make a statue out of this block of marble. And he started working on the marble, and he said, there's too many flaws. So the city of Florence gave it to another artist and said, we want you to make a statue out of this marble. And they gave it to another artist, and he said, there's too many flaws. But then they said, Michelangelo, here's a marble. We want you to make a statue. And Michelangelo got it. There was already nick marks from the chisels on it. And out of that marble, where the others couldn't touch, when they said there was too many flaws, became the Statue of David, the most famous statue in the world. And there was a piece missing. There was a flaw missing. And Michelangelo made the Statue of David. And so I don't know what marked you or what chisel marks were on you or what you've tried or what you attempted, but in the master's hands, he can make a masterpiece. And see, where others have failed, maybe churches or people or Christians have let you down and marked you, maybe words from your past or even your parents or your kids to your parents, because it goes both ways. Maybe it has chiseled you and marked you, but in the master's hands, he can take it. The first said no. The second said no. See, the law came along and says, I can't really change him. I can show you what's wrong with you, but I can't change you. And that was never its purpose. But Jesus comes along and says, I already know what's wrong with you, but I'm already ahead. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. But when you return, strengthen the brother. Jesus was already there in the future. And Peter's like, I'm not going to deny you. He said, no. When you return, see, he already sees your future. In the master's hands, he can take what others couldn't fix, others couldn't do, what religion couldn't do, the Jesus of now can change and make a masterpiece. And so now it's the most famous statue in the world, but nobody knows the history. We see all these gifted people and all these anointed people and all these amazing ministries, but we don't know the flaws in the histories before they were in the master's hands. Everybody was a mess before Jesus. Job was a mess. Noah was a mess. John was a mess. Peter was a mess. They didn't even want to be around him, but in the master's hands, he made a masterpiece. All your flaws don't matter to him because he can use that. And even that flaw, people said, it's anatomically correct. It's perfect. It's perfect. But there's a piece missing in the back. Later, they found Michelangelo those writings. Yes, I know. He said, yes, there's a flaw in the marble. And intentionally, he put it in the back. Intentionally, he did that. He knew it was there all along, but he put it in the back. Why? Because there's things that God doesn't want others to see, and he knows it's there. Come to me. Come to me. I'm the shame taker. I'm the healer. Yes, I'm the savior. But together, there's a song over your life. Let's not just camp at the Jesus of was or the Jesus that will be. Yes, I'm going to heaven, and people suffer in physical ailments and shame, or people get an abortion, and they never feel right. See, we need to talk about everything. Or a homosexual lifestyle, and, you know, okay, and in their mind, yes, I'm going to heaven, but okay, he's Savior, and, you know, he can take this away. No, friends, he can do it all, and together he makes the music. The Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, fairer than 10,000, the one that was dead and is alive. And he says, John, I am who is now, the Jesus of now. So where have we put him? In the old, in the new, and I say the old, where it used to be the good days. I remember I was in a meeting and this guy says I've just been thinking about the Jesus movement. The Jesus movement was an amazing movement where so many people give their lives to God. And there's another one coming that's going to span all generations in America. It'll be in America. It'll be like another Jesus movement. It won't be the hippies, but it'll be, because it won't be like maybe the outcast. It'll be everybody. And he says, you know, back in those days, he goes, I love Jesus now. He goes, but we were in love with Jesus. I don't want to live like that, where my best days were back then, where I loved God the most back then. John, you don't understand my responsibilities. No, we don't understand who he is. We change our focus. Same worship songs I've been hearing, but now I rechange my focus and I go to another level. Let's just close our eyes for a second. Lord, I just thank you. You are the Jesus of now. You're not just the Jesus of Nazareth or the Jesus that touched the woman or the Jesus that talked to the woman at the well. We're not going to limit you to book or stories or history or our history or you weren't there or this and the criticism of Michelangelo. They had to change it. God, we don't criticize you. We don't judge you. We don't say you should have did this. Michelangelo showed different colors when they took the dust off and the dirt off and everything man put, then they could see the master's true intention of the Sistine Chapel. And people come from all of them, they say, oh, it's so beautiful. God wants to put in you and make in you and master in you and mold in you and shape in you and change you. Yes, sometimes he'll come like the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Sometimes he'll come like a fire. Sometimes he'll come like a soft wind. Sometimes he'll come like the drums and knock things out of your life. Sometimes the Lion of the tribe of Judah can growl and let the demonic flow from your life. So everything people need today, God, I thank you. If you need anything today from the now, Jesus, I just want you to stand up. You don't need to come to the altar. I want you to stand up and just start receiving the Jesus of now in your life. Maybe some of you need purpose. Some of you need direction. Some of you need healing. Some of you need purpose. Some of you need destiny. Some of you need to drop the shame or the guilt or the questions or the doubts or the when or the what or the why or the who. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, the Jesus of now. You come in like a wind. You change things and you move things and you shift things. And when you came to John, it was like he never seen before. So Lord, I thank you. We're going to begin to see you in new ways. We don't limit you in the past. Our best days are not behind us. Our most anointed days aren't behind us. Our most directive days aren't behind us. They're now, the now, the now, the Jesus of now, not the Jesus of then, not even the Jesus of going to be. Yes, we know we're going to heaven. Yes, he's prepared a place for you. But some of you need to hear his voice now. You need direction now. You need wisdom now. You need insight in your marriage now. How to raise your kids now. How to speak now, now, now. The Jesus of now. We do not limit you. You're not just Jesus of Nazareth. You came from heaven. You were in Nazareth for a while. You were just there for a while. But in that while, they limited you. Just because you did something in our life, God, even a healing or something or whatever, we don't want to limit you that. We don't label you that. You're Jesus. And with that name comes everything. Lion of the tribe of Judah, bright and morning star, fairer than 10,000. There's too many names to describe you. So Lord, I thank you for the Jesus of now in these coming weeks to be awakened in Jesus' name. There's a reason why we still use that name. When we say in the name of Jesus, we're not saying the name of history. We're saying the Jesus of now. He's doing things now. He's healing now. He's ministering now. He's changing now. He's drawing now. Like he did with me in worship just recently, just in the last few days. He says, John, there's another aspect of worship. Yes, I've heard teachings on worship. Yes, I've heard the songs. Yes, I've heard this, but there's a different aspect of Jesus. And here's the truth. It was there all along. I just didn't see it. The Sistine Chapel's colors were there all along. They just couldn't see it because it was covered. So, Lord, I thank you for uncovering all the dirts and the twigs and things we have said over ourselves and men have said and limits have said. The colors were there all along. Hundreds and hundreds of years, the colors were there all along. They just couldn't see it. He told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see? When you see what he says over your life, you've seen well. Let us see the colors, not tomorrow. To start today to see the colors over your life and see the picture of what the Master intended. In Jesus' name.